Good evening, good evening. I would like to welcome everyone to our special Monday night topic message. This is going to be a explosive message that we are about to receive on this evening. So I want to just tell everyone to just take this time out, invite someone on the line so they can hear this message that will be going forth. Mr. Carr will bring us an explosive message on this evening. So just text someone, have them join us on this evening to hear this message, and they will be very well fed when they get this topic that we're about to receive. So just take this time out to invite someone on the line to hear this message that Mr. Carr will be delivering on this evening. Just take a few minutes. And while you're doing that, I would like to invite anyone who have never been to our website, please go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org. That's SundayMorningBreakfast.org. If you haven't missed any of our messages, please feel free to go on there, browse, look around, and you can get any message that has been taught throughout these 10 years. One on 11. So please feel free to do so. Again, this is our special edition on this evening. We will have an explosive message. On yesterday, we had a very, very great topic delivered by Miss Tiana and Mr. Carr on yesterday, Unique Divine Agitation. That was spoken about on yesterday, Unique Divine Agitation. So if y'all missed that, please go get it. I advise y'all to go get Wednesday and Sunday's call to catch up on it about the message. So I hope everyone has been enjoying their day so far, had a great weekend. This is Monday. I know little Monday is like a slow start, but we're out here. We done made it through this day, and we're ready to hear an exciting word, an exciting message from Mr. Carr on this evening. So while we're waiting, I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your head. We're going to start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for bringing us together on this evening. Father, bless everyone that is in earshot of my voice. Thank you for bringing us together to receive this amazing message that we're about to receive, Father God. Father God, bless every individual that is listening this evening. Father, I thank you for our man of God. I thank you for giving him the wisdom and the strength to deliver words day in, the messages day in and day out to us. Father God, just thank you. Thank you for watching over each individual. And thank you for watching over their families. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. So without any further delay, I would like to bring on our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Hello, Mr. Carr.
Yes, I'm okay. Here. Thank you so much, Mr. Brink. So I just want to get to it real quickly. I just want to go ahead and get to the topic at hand. We're talking about agitation. I wanted to close it out as I promised on yesterday. I want to give us three pointers, but before I get there, I want to show us something real quickly because we have 20 minutes and we in and out. Okay? So this is the explosion that I'm talking about. Now, it's something that I picked up with the story of Jeremiah because a lot of times we misread with this misnomer with the characters in the Bible, and we'll put them up there with God. Amen, somebody?
Yes, that is so true.
But for everything that you see in the Bible, that is a metaphor. God would not give you characters, scriptures. He wouldn't give you ideologies. He wouldn't give you the vision of the Bible without having some impact on your life.
Right.
And he uses the rock, water, whales, animals, spirits, so that we can identify with them. So we have to be in the right place with God, so that we don't have this unique agitation that pulls us away. Because sometimes the agitation that we had, you know, have with God, and we don't even know we have with God, and that keeps God out of our life.
Yes, yes.
You do know that you can actually say you love somebody. Lord, here we go. You know you can say you love somebody in front of people because that's the norm, but you really don't love them for real?
Yeah. Yes, very true.
Huh? It's almost like parent-teacher conference. Everybody out studious because that's the norm. But who said that they really get along? Just doing that because you're in front of everybody.
Correct.
Okay. Y'all catch my drift? And we can also do that with God. Huh? Not so much that you're doing it to impress others. Sometimes, oh my God, we do it to impress ourselves. Sometimes we fill in our own cereal bowl that says, I know I'm saved, so let me just visit the Bible. Let me do the Bible every so often to prove that I am. We have this, like, internal time clock that says if I don't do this, then I feel out of place. So even sometimes, even like with people in the world, you may have people that killers, they call steppers. They may step, meaning kill something, and then they go back and give to the community just to say they know them. Because they don't want to feel out of place within themselves. Oh, my God.
Come on. Come on.
Nino Brown, anybody? I know it was a movie, but that's real life. Y'all know that?
Yes, yes.
I hope y'all catching where I'm coming from. So with this being said, Jeremiah's story is really potent. In Jeremiah, our foundational scripture, we was reading Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. But I want to see something. I want you to see something. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. He said, you deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Jeremiah made it about himself. Look at me, 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 my, I. Well, put Jeremiah's name out the way and put your name in the way. Hold on, God. I ain't serving God when they talk about me now. Uh-oh. I want people to at least like me. Uh-oh.
Okay. Come on. Come on.
But look at how he said you deceived me in verse 7. And let's go to Jeremiah 20, chapter 20. Let's go to verse 13. Jeremiah says, sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Now, hold on for a second. Hold on. That's Jeremiah talking. It just went from you deceived me to give praise. And before you talk about Jeremiah, I told you to remove his name and put yours in there.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were mad at God. Today, give God blessing. I'm blessing and hallelujah. Give God praise and glory. Who that sound like?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
Us. Us.
Huh? That's some spiritual bipolarness going on. Jeremiah says something in verse 7 different than what he said in verse 13. Jeremiah shifts. He shifts from saying, Lord, you deceived me, to saying, God, give God a praise.
Right.
Wow. Okay, let me help us out right quick. See, when you open and honest, and I opened this up on Wednesday and said, Jeremiah had to be a bad somebody to be telling God he deceived him. See, you have to have a unique relationship. See, it's one thing for somebody who just, you know, oblivious, they don't even know. God, you deceived me. They drunk with the world's food. They just drunk in the world's way. But it's another thing for God to call somebody out and say, you are and I will be with. And I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. That's a whole nother ball game. You've got to be on another level to say, God, you deceived me. And you have that type of That's on a whole nother level.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. Let me get to it on this level. Is any black sheep in the family? All y'all to watch?
Yeah.
Anybody black sheep in the family?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
It's one thing for the black sheep to say, you deceive me. Ain't nobody paying attention to you.
Right.
You already outcast. But it's another thing for the one who mom and daddy love to say, you deceive me. Yes. Now let that sizzle on your spirit.
Right.
Let that sizzle on your spirit. Because not a black sheep over there with their popcorn talking about, oh, let's see what you got now, mom and dad.
Come on.
Huh? You see?
Uh-huh.
See, he said, you deceived me, and then said, give God praise. But see, this is what happens when you don't hide verse 7 from God. He can heal your verse 7 and give you a verse 13. The problem is we hide our verse 7. See, we don't want to tell God, I'm about to step away from you. Because all this ain't working for me. I can't have no kids. Everybody else having kids. I don't have a job. Everybody else got a job. See, put me up a tie, verse 7. But,
come on. Right.
Huh? See, it's one thing to amen and pretend to God. God ain't looking for pretenders. Do you not know God knows the heart that you don't even know you have? Hence you say, Father, forgive me of the things I know of and don't know of. Forgive me of the sin I know about and the sin I don't know about. You cannot pretend with God. So if you got a problem, you might as well go ahead and let him know. It's like that teacher that had already called the parent. You might as well go ahead and let him know. Because he knows.
Right.
But we don't think of God like that. We really think, just like that child thinks, they can get over on the parent. That's how we literally approach God. I know we ain't going to say amen. Here we go. I'm going to say it for you. Amen.
Yeah, it's so true.
You need to not hide with God. And because of that, God heals what you don't conceal.
Yes, yes.
He heals it.
Huh?
This is how Jeremiah got his verse 13 from his verse 7. You have to empty your heart of all the things that are wrong so that God can fill it with all the things that should be right. But if you don't empty it, what can he feel?
Nothing.
This is the scripture that you know as sowing in tears so that you can reap in joy. That's that scripture right there. See, all the aggravation, frustration, and agitation, let me sow in tears. Because, God, I'm getting agitated so that God can reap in joy.
Yes.
See, we put on a show in front of people, and we say, praise God, hallelujah. Half the time, you don't even know why Sister Mary cried. You think it's the Holy Spirit hitting her. No, it's something that she was about to give up on that's hitting her. Oh, okay, y'all want to be faking phony, huh?
No.
Time for that. Mm.
Nope, not at all.
We praise God with our crackers and juice, and that ain't how you praise God. You praise God in your unique way. So stop looking at everybody else that get down and cry. Stop looking at somebody run. Don't get mad at them just because you so agitated that you say, I got to serve God. Say, don't you get mad when somebody strips their clothes off and get naked before God?
Yes. Teach.
Because your agitation has pulled you further into the world, and theirs has pulled them closer to the spirit that you don't understand. That's what peculiar look like, right? Okay, cool. You follow me? So God can alter.
Yes, sir.
God can alter what you don't bring to the altar and put on the altar and leave at the altar. He can't alter. If you don't alter it, he can't alter it. If you don't bring it to that altar, he can't alter it. He can't change it. Jeremiah. Verse 7 and verse 13 are completely different. But Jeremiah was honest. I know we look down on him. But he was honest. I know a lot of us stopped at verse 5. in verse chapter 1, before, mm-hmm. But in chapter 20, he was honest.
Huh.
But see, the thing is, I want to know how he got from verse 7 to verse 13. That's what this call is all about.
Huh.
The reason why I want to know how he got from verse 7 to verse 13 is because that it is inconceivable that you're going to have a life without frustration. That means you will be agitated. That comes with the cross. You got your thorns, you have your storms, and then you have that cross you have to pick up. That's on you. Whether you pick it up or mm-hmm. let it fall down.
Huh?
And because this, when we better understand how he got from God to deceive me to give God a praise, it actually helps us to better understand and better handle the cross that we have to bear that comes with our calling. Because you don't have agitation. You don't have a calling without a cross.
Yes. Yes.
Not one of us. If you're walking in your calling, I guarantee there's a cross near, and not the one that you create. I'm talking about the one that disrupts the things that you most enjoy.
Huh?
Come on. If you choose to, or if you desire to be a follower of God, there's no such thing as not having a cross walking towards your calling. There's no such thing as a cross-free living, if you will. There's no such thing.
Mm.
There's no such thing as being used by God and not being used by people. I'm going to repeat that one. There's no such thing as being used by God and not being used by people. I'm going to repeat that again. There's no such thing as being used by God and not being used by people. One more time. There's no such thing as being used by God and not being used by people. Impossible. If that be the case, well, then watch this. How did Jesus come? Because he sure came to serve, and when you serve, you're being used. Man. The problem is, we think we're serving and we're self-serving. You cannot do the things you want to do and say it's God's way.
That's right.
Ah.
Teach us. Come on.
Here we go. Do you even make yourself available to be used by God, yet alone people? You're too busy getting you to rest. Oh, okay. Look at it. Yeah. Look at how they interrupt it. Because we say, I need my rest. So do the people that God put in your life that you use. They need their rest too. Did you not understand that?
Right. Right.
There's no such thing as being used by God and not being used by people.
Hmm.
Jeremiah was being used by people who he was trying to help, and they were stabbing him in the back. Y'all, there will come a point in your time, in your life, where the very people that you use will walk away, and you did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on. Talk to us.
Huh? Hmm? I knew that would get everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? If you're going to be used by God, you should get prepared to be used by people. Huh? But don't get too agitated. Huh? I'm getting ready to close. Although Judas used Jesus, you don't see not one scripture in the Bible where Jesus got so agitated that he complained about Judas. Not one.
Nope.
And
nope.
Jesus is and was perfect. And Judas still betrayed Jesus. Now, if that happened to Jesus, and we not Jesus, what makes you think that's never going to happen to you?
Right.
Huh? How do I get from verse 7 to saying, God, you deceived me, to verse 13 to saying, but give God a praise?
Huh?
Is your agitation going to kill your assignment?
Hmm.
How you get there? Three things that I saw, and I want to share with them real quickly. Number one, the first thing that I saw that Jeremiah had to do was he had to become obedient, number one, to God, number one, so that God can be responsible for him. When we become obedient to God, God becomes responsible for us. Case closed. That's it. When you're not obedient for God, God is not responsible for you. In other words, I'm responsible for you when you do what I tell you to do, child, not when you do disobey what I tell you to do. You on your own.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says, remind me of my word. He didn't tell you to remind him verbally. To remind God of his word, you look like your daddy. You act like your daddy. You live like Jesus. That's how you remind God of his word. In other words, being at the right place, at the right assignment, with the right heart, reminds God of his word. Therefore, now I know that I'm protecting you. In other words, I got to stay true to my word. So whenever you live in my word, I watch over my word. In other words, I'm not responsible for those who are not in my word.
Yes, Lord. Come on now. Oh, yes.
Can't hear
you. Come on.
Can't hear you. When you become obedient to God, he becomes responsible for you. He watches over his word, not those who disobey it. What happened to the sacrilegious? The sacrilegious just got mad. They're saying, God, watch over me too. You think so? Didn't God say, depart from me, I never knew you?
Yes.
God only know his word. Boy, I'm going to stop right there. You hear me? Come on, let's go quote for quote.
Come on.
Huh? Who said that your God has said dollar for dollar? Let's go scripture for scripture then. Let's go with it. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. And if God ain't never know you, God know everything. He don't know things that are not in him. Say that again.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Teach it to us. Come on.
Oh, he know you, but he don't know you. Make it make sense. Huh? That's number one. Our obedience makes God responsible. When we obey him, he is responsible for protecting us.
Yes.
Yeah, I know sometimes it feels like when you obey God, you literally put yourself in jeopardy, huh? Because of the ridicule. Right, Jeremiah? Because people are going to talk about you. Right, Jeremiah? And I know right now we'll say, well, I don't care about people. Do you remember this man named Peter? Peter said the same thing. You really want to open the door? We not won't have enough time for that. You don't have to care about people. But see, deliverance it ain't just about people. Are you delivered from you as well? Do you care about you?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on now. Come on.
See, it ain't people who get
you. Oh, yeah.
Satan will use you to get you. Because, see, if the body can naturally tear down and fight against itself, you don't think you can fight against you? And disobedience is when you fight against you. Okay. Y'all see it? Turning others over to a reprobate mind is when they no longer obey him. He's not responsible for what happened. Y'all remember how God told Jonah to go to Nineveh? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But see, sometimes we sensationalize and sanctify Jonah's story, not realizing that Jonah had a valid reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh. Because if you really read the story, Nineveh, where Jonah was supposed to go, his assignment was, he was so agitated because Nineveh is where they kill people, and Jonah wanted to leave. And people, and Nineveh, they kill people like Jonah. In other words, that's like you being African-American, and you know in that hick town over there, they kill people, and God told you to go in. You're running from it because you know what they do to people that look like you.
Come on. Come on.
Before you talk about Jonah, I think we sensationalize that story because we don't know it. Talking about he ran. Where the hell did you run from? Hold on. Talk. Where did you run from? You done ran from your calling? You should know more about God than you know about anything else. Why are you very articulate with that, but not with the word? Huh? Oh, you're not a pastor, it's your excuse. That don't have nothing to do with being in love with God. Hello?
Yes, Lord.
See, a janitor is not a teacher. But they show love how the school say, don't get me started.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, my God. Jonah had a valid reason to run.
You see it? He tried to protect himself. But whether you believe it or not, this is still number one. Self-protection is an illusion.
Huh? Oh, it
you
is.
You can't protect you. I can't protect me. You feel like you're protecting you, but you can't. You can't. You can't. Did you forget footprints in the sand? You can't. So why would you let the world deceive us?
Right.
Guard your heart. You don't have the ability to guard your heart. When the Bible tells you to guard your heart, he's telling you to obey me. And I'm going to do it. My God. We just missed what he said. Oh, my God.
Come on. Come on.
Obedience guards your heart. Lord, have mercy. We think when God says guard your heart, guard your emotions. He did not say that. Guard your dreams. He did not say that.
All right, here we go. This is the unpopular word. Mr. Carr, stick to this so you don't lose people. Don't want nobody getting mad at the word.
Come on, teach us. Teach us.
You can't protect you. Right now, when you get off the phone, even if you're driving, you can't control nobody else's vehicle but your own. So how can you protect you? You can't control the other cars. You don't know who's drinking and driving. You don't know who's driving and texting. You can't even control the malfunction that may happen with your brakes. You cannot control. Only God can. Y'all see where I'm going with this?
Oh, yes.
Huh? No matter how much we strain and strategize, what we lift is not enough. When I was younger, I thought I was lifting weights. My father was behind me. See, we children to God. No matter how much you strain and strategize, our straining and strategy ain't enough. God is doing all the work. So you can't protect you, whether you know it or not. Oh, my God. Huh? Footprints in the sand, huh? Got number one?
Ooh,
yeah. This is how Jeremiah got from verse 7, to you deceive me, to verse 13. Give God praise. I'm showing us. He got over his agitation because he was obedient to God, and God became responsible for him. Number two, this is how he got to verse 13. See, the pain that Jeremiah would have, that he did have, was far less than the pain he could have had he disobeyed God.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the pain that we do have from obeying God is far less than the pain that we could have from disobeying him. I'm telling you how he got to verse 13. Remember, Job, Satan said, remove the hedge of protection from around him. Job, whatever God allowed to get through the hedge of protection was far less painful than what God kept outside the hedge of protection. See, some of us think that if we avoid certain assignments that God give us, that we avoid the pain altogether. That's not true.
Yeah.
We think that life will be easier by just doing us and not necessarily giving 100% to God. That's not true. God is not like, this is how God talks. God be like, look, not only will the pain still be there that you try to avoid, there will be also a pain without my presence. This is how God talks. Look at Jeremiah 20, verse 11. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. Look what it says. But the Lord is with me. But the Lord is with me. Now, this is before verse 13. So this is how he got from 7, you deceived me, to verse 13. But the Lord is with me. But is a conjunction. That means, I know y'all heard me say in 7, he deceived me. But in verses, but the Lord is with me, like a mighty warrior. You say, well, where is God? Where is God in my life? That's what you ask? My answer will be where you're supposed to be. God is wherever you're supposed to be. God is not going to alter his plans because of your pain. In other words, Lord, bless your people. Watch this.
Come on.
If God told you to go to Canada and you still flirting in Florida, you talking about where God at, he's going down a path to Canada. You're the one that done lost sight. He's where you're supposed to be. Lord have mercy. You think I'm lying? Cool. Why is there a God in heaven then? Well, you supposed to be. I'm trying to tell y'all. He said, I'm going to send you a helper called the Holy Spirit. But
Come on. Okay. Yes, yes.
Hmm? Where you supposed to be? He'll send you help.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask where he is, where are you supposed to be? This is how you got to verse 13, Jeremiah. Wherever he told you to go, that's where he is. And the last one, last but not least, how he got to verse 13. Because our options, he realized, are only our illusion. Jeremiah realized this. Options are an illusion. See, when you really sold out and you trust God in verse 1, Jeremiah 1, I knew you before in verse 5, I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. When you trust that, any other thing outside of that is uncivilized, Charles Barkley. It's an illusion.
Huh.
If God said, that's my wife, anything else that come along is an illusion. I would never tell her I got options. See, when people say they got options, they are delusional. It's an illusion. In other words, when you got a one God, you know, well, I'm telling you, I'm going to talk about this relational thing real heavy now. You know how people say, well, you know, why are all people not like this? Why they don't have a lot? I thought you only wanted one in the first place. I thought you wasn't worried about a lot of women. I thought you wasn't worried about a lot of men. If you only want one, why you worried about all?
Come on. Come on. Tell it.
Back to schedule program. See? So with Jeremiah, number three, options are illusions. This is how you got to verse 13. In other words, when God calls you, you don't have no other option. You can run from it. But see, your option is an illusion. In other words, go back to number two. It's going to hurt you more not to do what God called you to do. You might as well go ahead and take that pain right there versus the one that's outside his power.
Oh, yes. No,
it looks like
yes.
You're driving now. He said, what is the problem of man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? In other words, you can die happy, but you won't stay happy in the day of death.
All right.
What are we going with this?
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
And eternity is far longer than the temporary life, huh?
Yes.
The life
that God gives
is eternal life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You could have played football. You could have went to law school. You could have been a medical doctor. You could have owned team. You could have did all that. But God be like, you thought you could have did that? You thought you had a choice when I called you to do this, Jeremiah? Huh? Jeremiah, did you not know you can sow the seed? Jeremiah, did you not know you can till the ground, flip it upside down? Huh? Did you know you can get the right tools? But Jeremiah, I am the rainmaker. There's no fruit unless I make it rain. This is how God talks. In other words, you can get the right man. You can do all this. It won't be nothing until God make it rain. Your options are an illusion.
Come on.
Until God say so, it won't happen. Stop playing hide and go seek with God. Think about Jonah. Think about Jonah. Can somebody get for me Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9? Everybody got that? Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. What is that?
But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot.
You remember when we read it on Wednesday, we just look at it different than what we're reading it now, huh? See, you don't have an option. In other words, your option is an illusion. Jeremiah was saying what I wanted to do and said you deceived me is an option. There was an option of mine, but it was an illusion. So you didn't deceive me. I deceived me. So now we read Jeremiah 20, verse 9 a little differently. In other words, the illusion is what I want to do, I can't do because your word is all up in me. Oh, my God. And it's
come
up
on,
in my
come
mouth.
On.
Oh, Lord. And it just told me, in other words, it will hurt me not to do my call.
Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
More so than it hurts me to do. Lord, in other words, give me the ridicule, Alex. give me the talk about it. Let them stab me in my back. That pain is far less than the pain of me running from what God wants me to do.
Oh, yes. Come
See,
on.
This is when you're Christian-based. Now you catch this. See, when you're Christian-based, you can't run.
Yeah.
But when you're not Christian-based, you can keep on running. It hadn't hit you yet. You hadn't sobered up yet. See, remember, drunk people don't feel pain. Oh, Lord, talk to them.
Come on.
You
oh, come
right
on.
Now. But when you sober up.
Shoot. All right. Feel every bit of it.
God is like Jonah. You'll be back. Well, Jonah, think about it. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, y'all, because he ran. He thought he had an option to run. You know what? The 3 days he spent in the belly of the whale, he could have did everything that he needed to do in Nineveh, and he would have been back home. So he came back wetter, dirtier, stinkier, funkier, messed upper, and he could have did that in 3 days from obeying God. What about us for our options? This is how he got from verse 7 to verse 13 to say, give God a praise. You see? Mm-hmm. So we got to stop observing others' activity. We'd be like, well, why they can do anything they want to do and they ain't in God, they got a better life and they living their best life. God like Jeremiah, Jonah, whatever, your name, insert your name. The people you're talking about are not you. Didn't I not tell you not to C-O-V-E-T, covet your neighbor? They're not you. You have to do what I assigned you to do. Without this fleshly agitation that'll pull you away from me. Now, the cross comes with agitation, but it's a spiritual agitation. The agitation the cross has causes Jesus to rebuke those who try to stop him from doing his work. Oh, my God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, y'all ain't catch that?
Come on.
Jesus rebuked James and John when they wanted to cause war when he was going to the cross. He was going to the Lord. Y'all didn't catch that part.
Come on.
Now we look at the cross different now? He actually went to be ridiculed. He laid down his life. Understand, he laying down means I go to the place of ridicule. I don't avoid it. Well, we avoid all kind of stuff. I got to pray on how I'm going to talk on the ground. Let me pray about it. Let me pray about it if I'm going to talk. And some of we got so with it to where even what,
Come on. Tell the truth.
We accept the things of the world, but we have to pray about the things of God. Lord. Options are illusions. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
And this is the agitation that God wants us to avoid. The agitation that causes us to peel back our hands from his hand. He wants us to avoid that fleshly agitation. Their pride is all the way wrapped around. He wants us to receive the divine agitation. A divine agitation will cause one to be angry, but not to sin. Meaning, I have a divine expectation, and you're not meeting it. You need to get right. Oh, yeah, because I don't want nobody to misinterpret anything. Because you don't have an expectation when you have no investment. That's why people would tell you leave that alone, because they don't invest in what you invest in.
Right.
They don't care about what you care.
All
right, let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and open up our hearts. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for everything that you stand for, God, and we thank you for the time that we have with you. Father God, we ask that this word be sown in our hearts so that we may be to produce the fruit that you have for us. Father God, rain on us as you feel free to rain on us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the plethora, Father God, of information, for the plethora of faith, Father God, so that we may be able to increase our journey and our fortitude in you, Father God, our sustainability in you, Father God, that we may be able to open the doors, Father God, for you to introduce you to others. You said in your word that if we lift you up, you would do all the drawing. And lifting you up is nothing more than obeying you. The more we obey, the more other people get to see you, Father God, and the more you're responsible for anything that happens to us. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
Good night, everyone.